You're listening to The Sound Atlas by Russell Brooks.
I'm alone again. It's getting late, it's damn near 5 a.m. And I'm trying to make my head not ring.
All right, and I'm sitting here with Mark Beagle. How are you, sir?
Pretty good. How are you?
I am good. Let's start with, where were you born?
Bowling Green, Kentucky. I guess Bowling Green and Warren County Hospital.
All right. Have you lived here all your life? Or?
I lived here except for went to college in Louisville.
How old would you have been when you first started getting into either singing or playing music in front of people?
Probably 5 or 6, singing church songs.
Okay. What was the first time that you decided you wanted to play an instrument?
I always beat on stuff when I was a kid, so I got some drums when I was probably around 10 or 12.
Okay. And were you playing those with outside of church, or was that with people from school or friends? Or
Just at first by myself, and then some friends of mine and I got together and tried to put some little bands together, and then I played marching band.
In high school?
In concert band and pep band in high school.
Did you play drums in
band?
Okay. Was anyone in your family musically inclined?
I don't think so. My mom's always been singer in church.
Okay. I gotcha. So what was the first band that you had where you were in high school and you're like, we're a band, in the sense of being cool to be in a band?
Man, I don't even remember the name. Crossbones, maybe.
Crossbones? Okay. Yeah. What? How old were you in Crossbones?
Like maybe 14 or 15.
All right. Do you remember anybody that was in Crossbones?
Yeah, David Crotic played guitar, and Aaron Tinsley played bass. I played drums, and there's another kid, Jeremy Edwards, I think was his name. He played drums later on, and I sang. And there used to be a little practice room at Kentucky Music. We would help Joe Jones do things around the store. He'd give us practice time, or we'd pay for it or whatever.
Right. Okay, so you're 15 at the time, you think?
14, 15. Like,
and Crossbones. Now, it's Crossbones. Are you guys doing, you're playing drums and the lead vocalist?
Yeah.
So is it original stuff? Are you doing covers? Or?
We did some original stuff and some like old school blues stuff.
Okay. Any other bands after that? So say, any other high school bands?
Not really. We just, like, me and those guys just got together and just played. We never played any shows. We just either played at Kentucky Music's practice room or my friend David's living room when his mom was gone or something.
Just kind of playing to play.
Yeah.
And it sounds like, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but after high school, you moved to Louisville?
Well, between high school and moving to Louisville, I played in a band with Adam Compton and Darren Mason called Doubt.
Okay.
It was more like just like hardcore punk stuff.
And you're playing drums? Play
drums.
Doubt.
Yeah.
Are you singing and playing drums?
No.
Okay. No.
And then I played in another band called Array, which was Adam Compton and Adam Brownlee was in that band for a short time after I left. And, man, I don't even know if I remember the other guys or not.
Okay. So then you go to Louisville, though.
Yeah.
Is there any bands in Louisville that you would have played in?
No, just singing some gospel quartets.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. What part in the quartets were you singing? You singing
bass? Baritone.
Bass and baritone. Okay, because you have a pretty low voice.
Yeah.
Right. When do you come back to Bowling Green?
Around 2000.
Okay.
And that's about the 99, 2000, and I started doing some Lee Harvey stuff around 99, here and there.
Why did you pick the name Lee Harvey?
Because I worked at a Holiday Inn, and this guy who was a front desk guy told me when I looked like Lee Harvey Oswald, so I just kind of ran with it.
Right. Now, the Lee Harvey stuff, at least as far as, to an extent, but it's country stuff. When did the country music come into play in your life? Was that something that was also around the home when you were growing up outside of the church music, or is that something you got into later on?
My stepdad, my pops listened to a lot of Merle Haggard and old Chubby Wise, bluegrass stuff, and Buck Owens, and turned me on to those things when I was probably 11, 12. I remember I would save up my money. My pops would run a Motel 6. So in the summertime, I'd clean a parking lot, clean the pool out, take out the trash, all that stuff. He'd give me money, so I'd save up that money. Buy old Hank Jr. tapes, Merle Haggard tapes, Motley Crue tapes.
Right.
Just throw a little variety in there.
Yeah.
I was talking the other day about Beastie Boys, and I don't know how many Beastie Boy tapes I wore out around right. that time.
But, I mean, you also, you know, it seems like you started out primarily playing drums, but now you don't. You play guitar for the most part. When did you get into playing guitar?
When I was probably around 15, 16, I wanted to write songs, and it's kind of hard to write songs, play drums.
Self-taught?
Yeah.
Okay.
I taught myself a G chord, and I wore it out.
Right.
I learned C and D, and I was like, all right, I got a capo. I can play any song I want.
Got it whooped. So you around 2000, you come back to Bowling Green, and you're playing music in town. Were you a singer-songwriter at first, as far as by yourself, or do you have a band? Or
At first, it was me, James Catlin, and Adam Compton. Adam played bass, and James played lead guitar. And I played guitar and sang. And we played our first show either at Java House or Three Brothers. Because we played both of those places all the time.
Was Three Brothers your first 21 and up gig?
Yeah.
Okay. What happened after that?
Because
we're still talking about 18 years ago.
Yeah, so. We started going to... James started taking me to some songwriters' nights or open mics at Killer mm-hmm. Greens. And then before Tidballs opened up, there was a little place there called Springer's.
Mm-hmm.
For a short time, and then Tidballs opened up, and that's pretty much where I cut my teeth playing, doing the Lee Harvey stuff, and wrote a lot of songs there, and started meeting people. I met guys from Dryland Fish and did my first gig at Tidballs with those guys.
And you've more or less, and correct me if I'm wrong, but been Lee Harvey since.
Yes.
Right. So let me ask you some things I've always been curious about. Who's your, not your favorite band, it could be a band, but who's your favorite musician of all time?
I'd say my favorite songwriter would be Townes Van Zandt.
Okay. Best song of his?
I don't know. Rake, Loretta.
Okay. Is that something you came into later in life or something you remember from being young? Or?
Probably in my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
I worked at a little head shop called Box of Rocks.
Yeah,
and,
on Broadway.
Adam Compton and I, we spent a lot of time together over the years. So we did piercing there. And Brent, the guy who owned it, had a lot of imports and kind of rarities when it came to CDs and stuff. So I was flipping through sometimes, and I'm like, let me check this out.
All right. And for those that don't know, I know what Box of Rocks was. What was Box of Rocks?
Box of Rocks sold incense and tapestries and CDs and pipes.
It always well, my version is it's a head shop with records.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know. Go ahead and jump to the heavy stuff here. Why do you play music?
Because I have to.
Okay.
I might get a little emotional for a second, but there was about a 9-year period I didn't write any songs at all. And I just played a little bit of music here and there. And I went to work. I got a 9-to-5, but second shift, 9-to-5 job. And I went to work, and I came home, and I went to work, and I came home. And my guitar was sitting in the closet for months at a time on end. And I had no desire to play, you know, had no desire to play guitar, no desire to play music. I get a little bit embarrassed sometimes, but I met a really awesome woman about a year ago, April the 8th last year, and over the last year I wrote 3 songs, which
right.
is a pretty big feat for me, and I feel more alive than I've ever felt, because music is just, whether it's I'm playing gospel music or I'm, I also do like some Hindu chant stuff with my friend Susan Totino, it's called Kirtan.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, we just do like Sanskrit chants, kind of call and response thing. Doing that and doing the Lee Harvey thing or playing gospel stuff or just playing around in the garage is a life force of some type.
Right.
I thought at first I would do it because it would get me chicks.
Right.
Make a lot of money. learned early in life those things. those two things didn't come along just because I played music.
They don't come hand in hand, no. Sadly. Yeah, we all figured that out. I mean, it's... do you think that... Well, let me ask you this. If you never... If you'd basically just went through church and sang, which were very similar in that aspect, and never picked up some sticks or never picked up a guitar, what do you think would be your hobby now?
Well, I don't know.
If you want to call it a hobby, but what would be your release, so to speak, nowadays?
I don't know. I can't.
Just kind of seems unfathomable. Or,
yeah.
Do you think if you could go back and tell yourself how to do some things different or some things better, would you? And if you would, what would you say to yourself when you were first starting to play music?
Not so much scotch.
Okay.
too many... a lot of times, I and some members of my band, depending on what period of time it was, have had a few times that we had a few too many drinks or whatnot. But, you know, just really, I'd say take the chances. Take every chance to play that you can take.
Right.
You know, there's sometimes I'd say, nah, I'm not going to do that because I'm not going to make any money, or I'm not going to do that because I don't feel like it, or, you know, whatever. But... I should have took those chances to play music.
All right. What's your favorite song that you've ever written?
Probably a mix between Bartender and this new song that I wrote called You Could Be. Probably a mix between those two.
Okay. Why is that?
Bartender, I guess, because I put a lot of myself into it.
Right.
And I actually, there's a lot of songs I wrote that I don't like that other people do like.
Yeah.
And I mean, like when you and I were recording and you want me to record Rebecca Lane, I was like, I don't know if I want to record that or not.
Right.
And my girlfriend loves that song now, even though it was written about somebody else.
right.
And I was like, maybe I shouldn't ever play that for anyone, but, you know.
Mm.
And this new one is, it was the first song I wrote in 8 or 9 years, and it kind of was like the, you know, a sign of the muse was still hanging around.
Right.
I just didn't have the volume turned up all the way on it.
What's your, what's the best show you've ever played?
I don't know, I think one of the shows that, The last band that I had together was Adam Williams playing lead guitar. Russell Brooks played bass and guitar. Ryan Doty played bass. Jeff Clark played drums. And I think the first time we played Mercy Lounge for that Bowling Green Invasion.
Yeah, yeah. Even that's been a while now, but yeah. Do you think that... this is more of a question. This is out of my own curiosity here, but you sing very low. Not very low. You're not like Crash Test Dummies low, but like you sing low. And for the listeners that don't know Mark, his voice sounds like a 7-foot guy is going to walk up and just bump you on the head and start, you know, telling you what to do. And you're anything but that physically.
Yes.
Have you ever experienced that where someone heard you and you're like, you're Lee Harvey?
I've had instances where someone said, I didn't think that voice was going to come out of you.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Like, well, I didn't either.
A lot of times when my friend Paul and I play at Brickyard in Franklin, we just do old school classic country stuff, and there's always... somebody sitting there, when we take a break, they're like, whoa, that voice came out of you. I'm like, yeah, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
5'4", 120 pounds. And...
It sounds exactly like it should sound. I mean, it's the thing where This is just my own personal opinion, but I was sitting here thinking, I'm not even really 100% sure the first time I met you. That may have to take me a minute to figure out. But
I don't know, maybe cheap fireworks days.
Maybe, yeah. But I can't remember, you know, I'm sure that it was also the same kind of thing where it was like, oh. Because from an outside perspective, to look at you, there's several things that are complete opposites. And for people that don't know, just if you don't know Mark, like, you the tattoos on your fingers say?
Honk and tonk.
Honk and tonk. In my opinion, you have that true 100% pure blood kind of old-time country vocal. It's not the new whoever the most poppiest country song is now vocal. It sounds like, you know, Waylon, Merle. It sounds like that. And that, thankfully, is, in my opinion, has kind of made a comeback. But everything about you was like, that doesn't make any sense to me. And that's why I always really, I think, in my opinion, gravitated towards you, or the way I felt about it, in my opinion. But gravitated towards you because I was like, this guy's just kind of the, in my opinion, the real deal. Like, I think if you wanted to sound like something else, I think you'd be horrible at it. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, I try to write some pop songs, but...
But I mean, vocally. Really. Vocally. If you wanted to sound, it, you know, I'm not saying you can't sing super high, but I'm kind of saying you can't sing super high.
there's some Hank Williams songs that I would love to do. I can't do it.
And, yeah?
You know, at one point in time, when I first started doing the Lee Harvey thing, I played almost every cover that I did in G. Because that was like, it matched my vocals. And then I learned over the years how I can adapt. But, yeah, I mean, I couldn't do, like, Stevie Wonder stuff.
Well, so I started to say, maybe high is not the right word as far as what I think you probably could but shouldn't sing. But, like, you sound like you sound for a reason because you're damn good at it.
Oh, I appreciate it.
What's your favorite song of all time? Not of yours, but is what overall?
Oh, man, it's tough.
Or name a few, you know.
Probably Magnolia by J.J. Cale. And like that whole record is, I mean, it has After Midnight on it and, Clyde that Waylon did, but, I listen to that record a lot. And, I would say, you know, probably next to Towns Van Zandt, J.J. Cale is probably my favorite songwriter.
Okay.
So Magnolia.
Out of curiosity, as far as the spirituality of things, I'm not asking you about how you feel about God nowadays, but I've only done a handful of these things so far, and I'm included in the same boat that I find most of us in, where we first learn music from church or religion. Do you think that kind of lends us to do a certain type of music, or do you think it's no different than, you know, going to violin lessons when you're five?
I would like to think that being brought up in church around that type of music helps someone gravitate toward a more soulful or putting more of themselves into music. I'm not saying that classical music isn't soulful for some people. For me, it's calming, but that's about it. And I think that going, if I were to have went to piano lessons or violin lessons or something, I may have been, possibly have been more rigid and dry. But yeah, I think that's the whole purpose of like music in church.
I should ask you, because it's you, how's your mom and them?
Good. Just been, helping my mom move into a retirement home and, yeah, so it's all good.
Now I should like to point out that, anytime Mr. Beagle has ever asked me how my mom and them were, and you can fill in the blank here, Mark, you would do what?
I might touch you a little bit.
He might smack you in the private region. Anyway, let's do one more thing. Mark is truly one of my favorite people, And I've been very blessed to know him. Mark, if you could give any advice to someone starting music now, regardless of any genre, anything like that, what would you say to them? What's the main, the one thing, if you had to pick one thing, you do?
Just do it. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's a popular genre of music that's going around in town or if anybody else likes it. Just do it. Do it your way.
Mark Beagle, the Nike of music advice.